Get Talent podcast.
Looks like.
Cool. You know what? Just have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready to go?
Yep.
How's it going, everyone? This is Danny Herskowitz, host of Get Talent, and I'm joined by my co-host, a very special one today, Tyler Eshley, our IT recruitment lead and specialist here at Glomo. Really excited to have you, Tyler. So tell us, what are we talking about today?
I'm stoked to be here, man. Thanks for having me. Yeah. Today, we're talking about technical recruiting.
Technical recruiting. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's funny because actually technical recruiting or IT recruitment was my first experience as a recruiter. Did it for a year. I think a lot has changed maybe 12, 13 years ago when I started doing it, but I really enjoyed it. And from you coming here, I've learned a lot in the short time you've been here about actually how complex it can be. You know, it's not simple to recruit a technical person, an IT person, and that's what I've learned from you. So, you know, what'd be good, I think, for the listeners is, what is technical or IT recruiting?
Yeah, that's a great question to kind of start off. So technical recruiting, IT recruiting refers to the headhunting or talent acquisition specifically of people who work on information systems. Mm-hmm. So that can range from, you know, a system admin person who's working with networks and internal systems to a software development expertise. It covers a lot, essentially. A lot to do with the software side of things. A lot of times people put that in IT, but it can range to a lot of different ones. Like I'm recently started working on a network engineering position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the most part. It is pretty complex, you know, when you're talking about all the different, because technology, like you had mentioned, it's changed a lot in the last 10, 12 years. And so since technology changed, you know, the knowledge that's required when finding the right people and making matches in the technology computing can get a little bit complicated for sure.
Yeah, I actually have a good friend of mine who's a director for a hedge fund in IT, specializing in that. And he's telling me it's really hard to kind of stay relevant. Things are changing so quickly. It almost feels like it just passes him by. So it's really interesting to me how up to date, you know, you have to stay if you want to succeed in this career. Previously, before joining Glomo, I know, Tyler, you were recruiting for a number of different industries, different types of organizations, but you've joined Glomo and have successfully hired individuals within IT, specializing in IT recruitment for specifically within our industry. And I'm really curious to see, you know, what are some of the differences you found? Are there differences in recruiting an IT professional within the global mobility industry as opposed to others?
I think the processes are more the same. You know, the global mobility space itself is one that it definitely, I see a lot of technology being implemented throughout the industry by different companies. Not all companies have exactly adopted modern technologies. And kind of going back to your point, in the IT world, that's a whole subject in and of itself. And in terms of staying modern and staying relevant, they're coming out with new versions of software tools and languages and all that. It seems like on a quarterly basis now. The processes and being able to identify a higher level, you know, kind of top level talent, technical professional versus someone who, you know, maybe is, you know, had a less of a high impact experience. Those things are still pretty much the same. But I think the main thing that's different about it is just the people that I work with in the space. Mm. You know, one thing that I've noticed is global mobility is a very people focused industry. And so it's full of just these really positive people who are fun to talk with. And nothing against software development and the different industry, because right, my background was in, I was recruiting for all kinds of different industries. I was what they call a full desk recruiter, specifically for software development. That was the company I worked
with. What's a full desk recruiter, Tyler? What does that look like?
Yeah, great question. So you'll hear a lot of different, you put it different ways, 360 recruiter versus 180 recruiter or all that. But so full desk essentially means that this person is identifying new market opportunities and doing the initial business development outreach, doing that new market development, new business development, creating the relationships from scratch with potential clients who have open roles, and essentially convincing those clients to let you work their positions from an agency standpoint.
Mm.
And then also after you've done the business development side, you're then gathering all the requirements, and then you're also sourcing and recruiting for that position and managing the process. So a lot of times different agencies companies will split that up. They'll have a business development or account management side, if you will, and then a recruiting or talent or sourcing side. I think there was a lot of benefits that I got from that being my first start in recruiting, that first part of my career, because I understand, you know, the business side of it, and then obviously have the skills necessary on the recruiting side.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that. It's called different things, full desk, 360. A lot of people will say, I mean, are you just finding candidates? And sometimes at certain firms you are, right? So depending on the model. But I think what I love about your experience, and it was my experience as well, is there's something really important, I think, about going out and targeting clients, learning about the different hiring managers, having conversations with them on both sides, understanding the pain that they're going through and the pain of the candidate and trying to match that up. And I think when you have that big picture overview, it gives you a big advantage.
Which I
really can see from, you know, our conversations.
It takes the phone, you know, the phone game out of the play, you know, a lot of times, because I'm the one who is speaking with the hiring manager about the position, and I'm getting that intimate, you know, from the horse's mouth information.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to then match that information. I think it makes being a full desk recruiter versus a 180 recruiter makes the difference in actually being a matchmaker.
Yeah.
Because you don't waste your time. If you're talking to clients who you know you have a match for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think having a subject matter expert like you speaking to those clients, asking the right questions, that maybe someone who didn't have that specialization or didn't know that, like myself, I would miss a lot of things. And I think that's really important in order to be able to, you know, make a candidate interested in a potential company. And then also gives you more insight and ability to influence the process in a really nice way. What would you say now are some of the hottest positions you're seeing right now in IT, and some of the positions you think our clients or global mobility clients or RMC clients, relocation management company clients, or any of the others are going to be hiring for? Maybe, let's say, if you can look into the next 6 months to a year, what does that look like? And what are some of the kind of the really big positions now that are, you know, that they're really looking for talent to join?
Cybersecurity, artificial intelligence are two aspects of the IT world that are a really hot topic right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cloud technology and operations within the cloud is a huge thing. There's a lot of companies that are still maybe, quote unquote, catching up. I know in IT, it feels like you're always catching up.
Yeah.
The modern world. But there's a lot of companies that are doing a lot of modernization projects, like migrating from on-prem to cloud services and being hosted in the cloud, changing the way they do their architecture, maybe going from a service or from a monolithic architecture to like a service-oriented architecture, which is a whole code. That's more like software, like coding jargon. But I would say anything, if you're including artificial intelligence into your systems, if you're using cloud technologies, then you're already going to be in a position to be able to provide a better service using technology to whatever clients or customers you do serve.
Like me, when I started, I just, you know, like most IT recruiters, and you're different, is I just, you know, looked at the keywords. I think that's, you know, I didn't have a knowledge or background. And those things you were listing off, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of, you know, recruiters that come into the space within IT, you know, they don't, it's a really competitive market. There's a lot of people coming into the space.
Oh, yeah.
But I've noticed that there's really good IT recruiters that I've met, but there's very few that have the deeper knowledge that I think you have. And I'd love for you to continue on that, because, you know, just from my own experience, why is that important for you to have that kind of deep understanding and personal knowledge? And honestly, what I noticed as well is an interest. It seems like you have a passion for it too. So I think that's interesting as well.
Yeah, I can just, yeah, definitely provide some insight on that. In terms of, like, you know, the one thing that kind of sets me apart regarding IT recruiting is I tried studying software engineering. I gave it the legit college try. Both my parents were career software engineers. My dad went up to corporate scale. So like that was always in my mind. And I went to college for it. And I'm not the kind of person, I guess, who can sit still for long enough to be a software engineer and deal with all the different things that are frustrating. I think I broke a couple keyboards during that time. And then was like, I guess engineering is not for me. I talk better with people than I do computers, I guess. Right.
So
I do have an interest in it. I think, yeah, it is important. Not all recruiters are going to be able to be recruiting in a space that they actually have kind of a, you know, passion for or interest in like that.
Right.
But becoming knowledgeable about it, the reason why that's important is because you are the mediator. You're bridging a gap between companies that need to hire and candidates that need a good job for them, right? So you really are a matchmaker. And so being taking the time to become more knowledgeable about the industry, a specific industry or space that you're recruiting for, what that allows you to do is make your recruiting more people focused. And you can then focus on, you can then have the knowledge to know whether or not you're talking to the right person for the, like, who can do the job, but you can take more time to make those connections between their life scenario and the kind of, you know, culture and environment that this company, you know, provides in a work environment. And you can also reassure your clients a lot more. You know, there's a lot of times where I get on a phone call with, you know, a CTO or a director of engineering or you know, whatever kind of technical leadership role it might be. And I'll ask them certain questions and they'll be like, I've never been asked that by a recruiter before.
Yeah, I remember that. I was on one of the calls with you and I feel like, you know, you were asking some really sophisticated questions that, you know, I think people get really surprised about actually, you know, how deep your knowledge is. And what's really cool is now you're getting that knowledge of the cultural piece of it, right? The different companies, the different personas of the clients within the mobility space, combining that with your expertise, I think it's very powerful.
I still subscribe to this. It's something that my like person who was a mentor to me at my last company said a lot, and I'd love to know what you think about it. But kind of, especially as full desk recruiting, you know, where you're doing business, like you're more or less an information broker. And if you
like can learn, yeah.
If you can know how to, if you have enough knowledge about your industry, then you know what questions to ask and you know how to get the information that the other side, like you mentioned before, you need to be able to have the information that's going to interest the candidates.
Right.
You know, when I ask a question of like, how much greenfield development are they doing versus, you know, maintenance versus architecture versus, you know, like scrum meetings and stuff like that, not only does the client then know like, oh, he's going to be asked, he's going to be talking to the candidates about that stuff, then it gives him better sense of credibility.
Yeah.
But also then I can then go to the candidate and tell them pretty much exactly what they want to hear, which is just the information of what their job is going to look like on a day-to-day basis. And that's huge for being like the, if I'm kind of acting as the face of my client for these candidates, you know, I need to, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask them the questions that, you know, fully equipped me to make as good of a first impression on these candidates as possible.
Yeah. I think the key word is information. I never thought of it that way. It really is it is about getting as much information as possible and knowing that and arming yourself with that information. And I totally agree with that. And one of the things I'd like to point out that you were saying is understanding the right questions to ask the candidates. And I think what we've seen, you know, when we're looking at kind of these traditional RMC or relocation management roles, it's similar where we'll work with clients on a role like a domestic or international consultant. And like we talked about when we were doing the training is there's a very big difference between those two. And then, you know, within domestic, do they have home sale experience, right? And those are questions that without having that information from the client, not having the knowledge, it's really hard, like you said, to articulate that in the right, appropriate way. But I love that information broker. That's great. And I think that could be another episode, actually, as you start getting more involved in these podcasts.
Top three things when working with the IT recruiter: get on a phone call with them and go beyond the resume. This is a people industry recruiting. And in the same way that there are more details to a person than what's on their resume, there's way more to a good fit, a good hire, a successful hire for this position than just the job, than what's on the job description. So taking the time to get with the recruiter and give them the information that goes beyond a job resume that, you know, the likely candidates may ask, but that gives, you know, provides more of a holistic picture, that's going to just make huge, huge waves in terms of your outreach effectiveness and, you know, how many messages you get back, how much interest you get. The second thing would be keep the process as short as possible.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I know this all depends on the role, right? And the importance of the role, the different things that this person is going to be doing. But if it's more than three steps, there needs to be some kind of reconsideration of what's being covered in each interview, what the goal of each interview is. Typically, it's like, is this person a culture fit? Could I travel with this person for an entire day through airports alone with them?
Yeah,
still feel comfortable and feel good.
Like, yeah, I like that
test, right?
I like that. My old boss used to call it a beer test.
Okay.
You know, somebody you can have a beer with, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then the, obviously the technical, the skill set test, like you have the culture test, the airport test, you have the skill sets, can they do the job? And then finally, you know, maybe introduce them to the team, discuss what the expectations around the position would be, kind of more of the, and what does the 30, 60, 90 day checkpoints look like and stuff like that, you know? But like really, truly, if you have a 4, 5, 6 step process, or if you're taking a lot of time in between interviews, if your interviews are spanning more than like 2 or 3 or 4 days in between each one, candidates will drop out of that interview process. The ideal time from first interview to offer would be about 5 to 6 days for candidate, right? And in that 5, 6 day period, you know, you're finding out whether or not they'll be a good fit at your company for that position. That's, I think, the main thing. You know, that could probably be a whole nother.
I think so.
Be a whole nother one, you know?
Yeah, I really like what you're saying here. So it sounds like culture, understanding the culture, understanding if that person is in line with it, figuring that out. Is this person someone you can actually work with, right? Mm-hmm. Get along with, do that airplane test, and then... Can they do the job? And then understanding how important it is to move this interview process forward, especially in the pace that individuals work. And, you know, especially... from what I've seen from you doing this is if you find a candidate that's got experience, you know, with specifically within global mobility and IT, that's a very rare find. And that's something I think that clients should move on very quickly just because there's kind of a limited number of those individuals. And then in general, right, it's not a job that everyone can do clearly, right? Mm-hmm. And when you find someone like that, that's really good, that's going to transform your company, you've got to move fast, especially because a lot of times it's very competitive from what I remember. A lot of other companies trying to grab that top talent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then the third thing would probably be ask for feedback on your interview process, you know?
Yeah.
That some of the best clients that I've worked with in the past, during that time I had with the agency, they didn't really, at the time that I started working with them, they probably didn't need to tweak their interview process anymore, but they were, because it was, you know, 2, 3 steps.
Yeah.
And it was clear, clean cut, and people would get through the interview process in 3 or 4 days, but they were still asking, hey, how did we do? Like, how do you feel about how the interview went? Was there anything that you feel you didn't get to explain in terms of your experience and how it relates to the role that you'd still like to, you know, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And you know what? That's important also because these are candidates that you have to sell, right? I think coming in and understanding what their interests are is very important because I think it can get very specific, right?
Yeah.
With a lot of these technologies and tools. So the more information you have, the better service you're going to provide for both parties.
Yeah. And I'd say last thing, I know you asked for 3 things, but in terms of the benefit, and one of the main benefits of working with a recruiter who has a technical specialty and has experience is their ability to save you time. I understand that there's been probably 150,000 tech layoffs just in 2023 and that you're probably getting resumes, but do you have somebody who can look at a resume and understand exactly how close to the code they were, or exactly, you know, if they were designing the networks or if they were just configuring the networks or if they actually designed code and then developed new code or if they were just maintaining other old code, stuff like that. Because a lot of times, especially in the tech world, candidates will just put anything that they've ever, that their system that they worked on used, even if they didn't, you know, use it or do anything with it. And so that's a lot of time. Because if you have 100 resumes, that's going to take a lot of time to go find the top 10 that you want to interview.
That's such a great point. So your job is discerning quality, discerning the match
on the
from kind of from the chaos a little bit, from the chaos of the applications. Well, it's almost too overwhelming and people just don't have the time and the knowledge, you know, internally to do that because you're speaking with candidates every single day and you have that expertise that I think really sets you apart.
And it's not just the technical aspect. It's like, I don't know if my client or your company is open to sponsoring H-1B, but especially in the IT world, you're going to have a lot more H-1B candidates that are that would need, you know, visa sponsorship than you would in some other industries.
Right.
You
know? Yeah, I remember that. I remember that was a big part of qualifying the candidate was to understand where they are from their H-1B, you know, what term they were on. Like, that was a big part of it, which I've obviously gotten away from, but there's like, you know, a very big pool of talent that requires, you know, that type of support to join the company, right?
Exactly. And again, like, we could go off on so many tangents. That's a whole nother subject. terms of the kinds of candidates that you should be looking for. I just think that having someone who can save time on the front end and provide a more sure process on the back end, like landing the candidate, it's a whole nother subject we're talking about. Like, okay, I present you a candidate, you like the candidate, but how sure are you that this candidate's going to accept my offer? Mm-hmm. You can have a whole nother conversation on that.
Right.
Because there are recruiters who have been trained on how to close candidates on stuff like that. And those who just send him an offer and let's hope he signs it, you know?
Right. Really good points. Tyler, thanks for doing this today. We've never talked about IT on this podcast on Get Talent, so this was really informative for me. I think it's going to be informative for the people out there. You know, if you have any interest in talking about IT opportunities or, you know, tech opportunities, please reach out to Tyler on LinkedIn. Check out our website for opportunities, and please feel free to reach out for any other mobility needs. On my LinkedIn, Danny Herskowitz. But thanks so much, Tyler. This was great. And I don't believe you. I feel like you've done this before. You're natural. So
a little bit. I'll always have to give a shout out to Strategic Employment Partners who trained me and who gave me this extreme training regimen where you're talking about zones of proximal development, you know, layering curriculum around just software development and the IT space to be a high impact, full stack recruiter, full desk recruiter. And so for any recruiters out there that may be tuning in, or anybody who's interested in recruiting and you happen to be listening to this, like if you're looking at companies to maybe get into the recruiting space, find a company that has a serious training program. You will not regret joining a company that has a in-depth training program. I promise you that.
Great advice. We got to give props to our mentors, right? That's what it is. We wouldn't be here without them. So thanks again, Tyler, and take care, everyone.
All right. Thanks, Danny.